ever get that feeling. You know, when you spend hours polishing your resume, making it perfect, and you hit send and then nothing. It's like, is anyone even looking at this thing? Well, today, we're going to deep dive into something that might help with that. It might be the key to getting your resume past those digital gatekeepers, PDF or Word format. Which one should you use? We're looking at a pretty recent article, actually came out May 2024, called PDF or Word, What is the Best Resume Format? So we're going to break it all down, figure out the pros and cons of each.
You know what I think is really interesting? We get so focused on the content of our resume, but how you format that content can be just as important in getting noticed.
Right.
And that's all because of these applicant tracking systems, ATS.
ATS, yeah. I understand they're designed to scan resumes, but how much power do they actually have? I mean, can the wrong format really hurt my chances?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Some of these ATS are incredibly sophisticated. I mean, they're like digital bouncers. They're deciding who gets into the party and who doesn't. And they're analyzing your skills, your experience, even the way you phrase things. Mm-hmm. So choosing the wrong format, it could be like showing up to that party, but in the wrong outfit. You might not even get past the door.
So basically, first impressions are everything. Mm-hmm. Well, let's break this whole thing down then. PDF versus Word.
I'll be honest, I've always kind of leaned towards PDF just because it feels more, I don't know, polished, more professional, and I can control exactly how it looks, you know, no more of those formatting disasters when someone opens it on a different computer.
You're right. That visual consistency is a huge advantage of PDF. It's like, you know, presenting a perfectly bound manuscript. It just feels more put together.
Yeah.
And that can make a big difference, especially when, you know, a hiring manager is just sifting through hundreds of applications.
Okay, but I've also heard that PDFs can be like a nightmare for those ATS. Something about them not being able to actually read the content. That used to be true, yeah, with the older ATS. But most systems nowadays, they've evolved. The key is to make sure your PDF is text-based. Avoid using images or, you know, fancy graphics or those complicated tables. The simpler the layout is, the easier it is for the ATS to extract the information it needs.
Okay, so it's kind of like speaking the ATS's language. Mm-hmm. Keep it clear, concise, and avoid any of that fancy jargon.
Exactly. And there's another thing about PDFs. They can be pretty large files, and that might cause some issues with certain application systems. Plus, editing a PDF can be a bit of a hassle if you don't have the right software.
Ugh, tell me about it. I've been there trying to just make a quick update to a PDF. And next thing I know, I'm like down this rabbit hole of converting files and searching for workarounds. It's enough to make you want to pull your hair out. So maybe Word is the better option then.
Well, Word does have its advantages. I mean, it's generally more ATS friendly because it uses a simpler text structure. It's easier for those systems to understand. Plus, the files are usually smaller and making edits is a breeze.
Okay, that does sound promising. But isn't there that risk of the formatting getting messed up when someone opens a Word document on a different computer? I mean, I've seen my share of resumes that look like they went through a tornado.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That lack of formatting control, it can be a big drawback with Word. And, you know, another thing, security. With Word, it's much easier for someone to accidentally or even intentionally make changes to your resume.
Oh, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about the security aspect. So it seems like both PDF and Word have their pros and cons. Is there like a clear winner in this battle of the formats?
You know, honestly, it depends. The most important thing is to always, always check the job posting instructions. If they specify a format, follow it to a T. It shows that you pay attention to detail and you're willing to follow directions.
It's like showing up for an interview in the exact outfit they requested. You want to show them you're listening and you follow instructions.
Exactly. Now let's talk about those online application forms. They can be a pain, but they're becoming so common these days, and they come with their own set of formatting challenges.
Oh, don't get me started on those online forms. It's like playing resume roulette. You just never know how the formatting is going to turn out, or if those drop-down menus are even going to have the options you need.
Yeah, they can be frustrating, that's for sure. But they're also a great example of why it's so important to understand how these ATS work. I mean, remember, those forms, they're often the first point of contact between your resume and the ATS.
So it's not just about choosing the right format for that initial upload, then. We also need to make sure our content is formatted in a way that those online forms can understand.
Exactly. And one of the biggest mistakes I see people make with those online forms, they try to cram way too much information into those tiny little text boxes.
Oh, yeah.
It's like trying to fit a square peg in a round hole.
I have definitely been there. Trying to condense my entire work history into, like, a 500-character limit. It feels like writing a haiku about your career.
That's a great way to put it. And that's why it's so important to be strategic about what information you include. Focus on the keywords and phrases that are most relevant to that specific job you're applying for.
Okay, so it's all about speaking the ATS's language. But how do we even know which keywords to focus on? It feels like every job description has a different set of buzzwords.
That's where research comes in. Take some time to analyze job postings for similar roles.
Mm-hmm.
Look for patterns in the language they use. What skills and qualifications do they emphasize? You can also use LinkedIn to see how successful candidates in your field are describing their experience.
So it's like being a detective, you know?
Yeah.
Gathering clues about what the ATS is looking for.
Exactly. And once you have a good grasp of those keywords, you can start weaving them into your resume and into those online application forms. But remember, it's not just about stuffing keywords in there randomly. You got to use them naturally and make sure they fit the context.
Right. Because if it sounds too robotic, it might raise a red flag for the ATS. Or even worse, you know, what if it gets past the ATS, but then it lands in the hands of a human and they're totally turned off by the, like, stilted language?
Exactly. It's all about finding that balance between being ATS friendly and also being human readable.
Okay, so we've talked about formatting and keywords, but what about those less tangible qualities, things like personality, work ethic, you know, cultural fit? Can we even convey those in a resume, or are those things better left for the interview?
That's a great question, and it's something a lot of people struggle with. You're right, a resume can't fully capture your personality or your soft skills, but there are definitely ways to hint at those qualities,
mm-hmm.
you know, to make your resume stand out from the crowd.
Okay, I like that. So how do we do that? How do we turn that dry list of achievements into a resume that actually reflects who we are as people?
It starts with understanding your personal brand.
Personal brand. Okay, now you've lost me. I'm not a company. I'm a person. Do I really need a brand?
Well, think of it less as a marketing slogan and more as a way of defining what makes you unique and valuable. What are your strengths? What are your passions? What kind of work environment do you thrive in?
So it's about figuring out, like, what makes me tick? What sets me apart from other candidates?
Exactly. And once you have a good understanding of that personal brand, you can start weaving it into your resume.
Weaving it into my resume? How do I do that without sounding cheesy or arrogant?
Well, it's all about choosing the right examples and framing them in a way that highlights your unique qualities. For example, if you're someone who thrives in a fast-paced environment, you might highlight projects where you had to juggle multiple deadlines and deliver results under pressure. Or if you're passionate about sustainability, you might showcase initiatives where you helped your company reduce its environmental impact.
So it's about choosing experiences that not only demonstrate my skills, but also align with my personal values and interests.
Precisely. And it's about using language that reflects your personality. Don't be afraid to, you know, inject a little bit of your own voice and style into your resume.
So if I'm, like, known for my sense of humor, it's okay to let a little bit of that shine through.
Absolutely. Of course, you want to maintain a professional tone overall, but a touch of personality can make your resume more engaging and memorable. It shows that you're not just a robot spitting out keywords. You're an actual person with passions and perspectives.
Okay, this is starting to make sense. But how do we balance showcasing our personality with, like, tailoring our resume to each specific job? I don't want to come across as too quirky or, like, off-brand for the company culture.
That's a great point. And that's where research comes in again. Take some time to familiarize yourself with the company's website, their mission statement, their social media presence. What kind of vibe do they give off? What are their core values?
So it's like doing recon before going on a first date. You want to make sure you're presenting the best version of yourself, but also being authentic to who you are.
Exactly. You want to highlight aspects of your personality and experience that resonate with the company culture.
Yeah.
For example, if the company emphasizes collaboration and teamwork, you might want to showcase projects where you played a key role in a group effort. Or if they value creativity and innovation, you might highlight initiatives where you came up with outside-the-box solutions.
Okay, I'm starting to see how this all comes together. It's not just about listing your skills and experience. It's about crafting a narrative that showcases your unique value proposition.
You got it. And that's where things get really interesting. Because when you start thinking of your resume as a story, it becomes much more engaging, both for you and for the person reading it.
So it's not just about getting past the ATS. It's about captivating the human on the other side of the screen.
Exactly. Because at the end of the day, it's a human who's going to make the decision about whether or not to interview you. And they're looking for more than just a list of qualifications. They're looking for someone who's a good fit for their team, someone who brings something unique to the table.
This is all so helpful. I'm already feeling more confident about my resume. But I do have one more question. How do we handle those gaps in our work history? You know, those times when we might have taken a break from our careers to travel or raise a family or pursue other interests. Should we try to hide them? Or is there a way to, like, frame them positively?
That's a great question. And something I think a lot of us can relate to. It's like those awkward silences in a conversation, you know?
Yeah.
Do you try to fill them?
Uh-huh.
Or just own the pause?
I like that analogy. Mm. So is there a right answer?
Honestly, it's a little bit of both. You don't want to draw unnecessary attention to those gaps, but you also don't want to pretend they don't exist. The key is to be transparent and, you know, frame them in a way that highlights your growth and how adaptable you are.
Okay. Let's say, hypothetically, I took a few years off to raise my kids. How do I explain that on my resume without making it sound like, I don't know, like a career setback?
Well, instead of focusing on the pause, you know, emphasize what you gained during that time. Maybe you developed valuable skills like project management, budgeting, or even, you know, conflict resolution. All those things are very transferable to the workplace.
That's true. Yeah, I never thought about it that way. So it's about reframing those experiences as opportunities for, like, personal and professional growth.
Exactly. And you can even use that career summary or professional highlight section at the top of your resume just to briefly explain those transitions and highlight how they've shaped you as a candidate.
So instead of trying to, like, bury those gaps at the bottom of my resume, I can actually use them to tell a more, like, compelling story about my career journey.
Exactly. It's about owning your narrative and presenting yourself as a well-rounded individual with diverse experiences.
This is so helpful. I feel like I'm finally starting to see my resume not just as this, you know, list of accomplishments, but as a dynamic representation of who I am and what I bring to the table.
That's fantastic. Remember, your resume is your chance to make a first impression. Grab the attention of a potential employer and make them want to learn more about you.
It's like that opening scene in a movie. It needs to hook the audience and make them want to keep watching.
You got it. And when you combine a clear understanding of those ATS systems with a strong personal brand and a compelling narrative, you create a resume that's both effective and engaging.
Okay, so to wrap things up then, what's the one piece of advice you'd give to our listener as they, you know, embark on their resume writing journey?
I would say remember, it's not just about what you've done, it's about who you are. Embrace your unique experiences, highlight your strengths, and let your personality shine through. And, you know, don't be afraid to experiment, get creative, and have fun with the process.
I love that, because at the end of the day, a resume that feels authentic and genuine, that's what's going to stand out from the crowd.
Absolutely. And remember, we're here to support you every step of the way.
So to our listener out there, go forth and conquer those resumes. And remember, you got this. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll catch you next time for another insightful exploration.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, because, you know, sometimes it feels like, are we overthinking this whole thing?
Right.
Is it really that big of a deal?
I mean, is it really going to make or break my chances of getting the job?
That's the question, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've looked at a lot of research on this, and the consensus seems to be, yeah, it actually does matter.
Really?
Especially when you're first applying for a job.
Okay.
That initial screening process can be incredibly competitive.
So first impressions are still everything.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, think about it. Hiring managers, they're busy people.
Yeah.
They often have hundreds of applications to go through.
Right, right.
So they're looking for any reason to quickly eliminate candidates.
So even something small like a formatting issue can be like a deal breaker.
It can be, yeah. Especially if it makes the resume harder to read or if it makes a candidate seem, I don't know, less detail-oriented.
So we really do need to sweat the small stuff.
To some extent, yeah.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Even if you have a perfectly formatted resume, if the content isn't strong, it's not going to get you very far.
Right. It's got to be more than just looking good.
Exactly. Huh. Your resume needs to showcase your skills and experience, and it needs to do it in a way that's clear, concise, and compelling.
So it's all about finding that balance.
Yeah. Between form and function.
Substance and style.
Exactly.
Okay, this has been so insightful. I feel like I have a much better understanding now of how to craft a resume that not only looks good, but also gets results.
That's great to hear.
I think our listeners are going to find this really valuable, too.
I hope so.
And I hope they'll join us again next time for another deep dive into the world of work.
Absolutely.
Until then, thanks for listening.